jury. The prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Well, we broadcast live every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, folks, as well as, of course, our official YouTube channel. All of the venues available right off of our home base on the internet, HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Go there, and you'll notice that you can not only get the YouTube video directly from the front page, but notice to the right, it's got just a wonderful area there, navigational area, where you can click to whatever site that is applicable to ours. So, for example, we have HagmanReport.com. That's where the news and information and our social networking sites, it's all right there, very easy for anyone. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. You can listen live on Global Star Radio Network, or listen or watch live off of our page, or listen via BTR, whatever choice, whatever venue choice you might opt for. Yeah, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and of course my son Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. And you know, we like to dig into topics that the corporate mass media doesn't, they won't, they will never do. And many people adhere to the coincidence theory of historical and current geopolitical events. We look at the conspiracies. Well, we look behind the scenes, I guess, awakening others to the truth and the real news behind the headlines. We want to thank each and every one of you, each and every one of you, including those new to the program, for tuning in and being part of what I like to call our extended family. And I really mean that, folks. You are really near and dear to our hearts. And I go back to thinking, which was kind of a blur of the conference, I go back to thinking about meeting all of you. And what I try to do is like take a mental picture and you know, memorize names and faces. But I'm so thankful to have met all the people that I did meet. So many just beautiful people there at the conference. I mean, beautiful. I'm talking about people, you know, not appearances. Certainly I wouldn't qualify for that. And I can, nor would Joe, but, you know, just beautiful people. Man, it was a very humbling, it was humbling to me just to listen to you, listen to your testimonies, your stories, and to get to know you a little bit better, to give you a hug or a handshake or I don't know. It was something that I will never forget, because you folks are really the lifeblood of the family. And I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, whether you took time off of work or you had to put aside that time and the expense to get there. And I just want to say thanks for doing so. And I hope that it affected you the way it affected us. And deeply, deeply. And it was so great. It was so great to see everyone and meet everyone behind the internet names or the,
yeah, you know, the chatters and the emails, interactive, right, chat room, to emailers, to callers,
right,
the people we've met before at other events, such as, you know, going to the Supreme Court,
yes.
In Washington, D.C. We met a lady there who's going to get her doctorate in divinity. And
was that Sally? I'm not sure. Sally, hello, Sally, if you're listening, and to so many others, just thank you for all that you do. And the speakers there, You know, Russ Bizdar, my goodness, Paul McGuire. Oh, my. Oh, my.
And we have one of the speakers with us tonight.
Indeed, folks, we do.
See this little pink string. My studio ears were taken with me, I think, to Texas. I still haven't unpacked everything yet, so I haven't been able to find them. So the pink string is my temporary studio ears, just as an FYI. But Ellie Marzulli tonight, elliemarzulli.net is the website. We have one of his books here, On the Trail of the Nephilim, as well as The Cosmic Chess Match. He's working on Watchers 10.
Yeah, that's coming out, and we did a behind-the-scenes interview. Consider this a debriefing, if you will. The speakers from the conference will be on our show, and I consider this a debriefing. For those of you who were not able to attend or for whatever reason, but some new information being shared by all the speakers tonight. We're showcasing L.A. Marzulli, and that's being able to spend time with him was just a tremendous, just so tremendous. I thought getting to know him and his wife, and they're such gracious people.
And knowledgeable, Peggy, his wife.
Yes, and L.A. Marzulli, knowledgeable beyond belief. Do we have him? Do we have him on the air? Okay. Yeah, we're working to get him on the air. A lot of news. You know, it's interesting. You talk about the news with respect to the terrorist bombings in Brussels, of course. That's the big thing right now. Ladies and gentlemen, expect that to come to the United States. That's going to come very soon, and it's going to come. We're going to see coordinated attacks here in this country, I believe, in the short term, based on all of the information I've been getting right now. There's preparations being made, response preparations already being made to such incidents. So do we have any direct intelligence? No, but we do have information that there are people, agencies, that are putting together their responses for the eventuality of such attacks.
And through text message today, I asked LA, you know, what he thought an appropriate title of the show should be, based on what he wanted to talk about. And he said, The Rise of Jihad. Now,
how appropriate is that? Right?
Paul McGuire will be on tomorrow, and he also, so we're going to have two back-to-back shows. He wants to talk about the Belgium terror, prophetic warnings and terrorist attacks, and the possibility of coming terrorist attacks to America. So,
And just a couple of housekeeping announcements. Right before the 7 minutes before airtime, I, you know, keep me away from electrical things. I plugged something in.
He blew the electric out.
We tripped the circuit. I tripped the circuit down in the studio area, so it was slow coming back up. And I apologize for that, which, I mean, it cut out our computers, and you know how you have to restart everything. And so we had a little frantic time right before the start of the show. So we're up, and if you see a lag in the video, here's what we're doing on the good news side of things. We are investing in the equipment needed, that we need here to take this into fully high def, and hopefully when we get this piece of equipment, which is very, very pricey, but we need to do this. So that'll give us immense capabilities. You're going to see some really dramatic changes here over the next couple of weeks, and we're just so excited about that. But anyway, so I think LA is on
with
the,
us. Yes,
is with
is.
Us. All right. So
LA from LAMarzulli.net. Mr. Marzulli, it's great to have you on the show, and it was a pleasure spending the weekend with you.
Hey, Doug and Joe, great to be here. And please refer to me as L.A. When you say Mr. Marzulli, I feel like an old codger or something. My God.
Okay, L.A., right. It's a deal.
There you go.
Well, all right. Well, it was a pleasure spending time with you.
Oh, it was great. So, our tables were next to each other, and it was really fun. Really fun getting to know you guys a little better, too.
You know, I for whatever reason, I did not realize to see the amount of work in the product that you have out, the knowledge that you are providing to people through your books and DVDs, it's just an amazing thing how much work you've put into your your ministry, if I may call it that.
Sure.
Your projects, you know, it's just, I stood back when you and Peggy were not there. I stood back in awe looking at that, and I'm thinking to myself, how much time and effort did it take you and your team? And it's just thank you for all that information, by the way. So
I really appreciate that. You know, there's 9 DVDs and 9 books, and you know, it's funny when the this present generation, they want everything for free, and I don't mean this as a slam, but a lot of we get emails from people, oh, this stuff should be free, man. You know, I just tell them, look, how about if I come over to your house for dinner tonight? How's that sound? The bottom line is, yeah, it takes a long time to produce a book. I do like one book a year. At the most, we do 2 Watchers films a year, and now we've switched over to TV, which is ppsreport.com. We aired our first show on VTM, which is out of Little Rock, last week, and got some really good response out of that. Plus, we do like at least 1 or 2 updates a week. And, you know, you mentioned team. There's a loose team, but there's like, it's just my wife and I in the office. We've got two women that help with the shipping. Carson Brenneman does our internet stuff, but he's down in Chile. Mark Kahn does our email blast, and he's over in Missouri. I mean, that's a team. And of course, Richard Shaw. So, I mean, it's a very loose network of people, but, you know, we keep cranking the stuff out. And now that we're on TV and also YouTube, but getting ready to go on Roku, it's a tremendous amount of work. And not only when you look at that, then you look at the speaking schedule to it, and then, you know, it's like we're just working fools, basically.
Absolutely. I know you have a full schedule. You speak at so many places across the country on a regular basis. You are right in the thick of the prophecy circuit, and it's good that we have you there. We had the pleasure of doing a behind-the-scenes interview with you, as well as listening to your presentation, and you presented a lot of information. And I don't know,
108 slides. You know, you talk about. When I heard that, I thought, it's amazing the amount of work. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, I mean, it's 108 slides to show people. I mean, you talk about an information-rich environment. My goodness. But LA, where do you want to start tonight? You got so much going on.
In Watchers 9 and also the book by the same title, Days of Chaos, we outline this. And in fact, today I wrote a blog. And what I did, it's from 2013. And the beginning of the blog was this. I have a warning of the coming jihad for years now. And for the most part, it has fallen on deaf ears. It's coming here, and we will see more of these attacks. In the meantime, another candlelight ceremony is not going to stop the jihadis. Now, that was originally posted in 2013 on the wake of Nairobi, Kenya, when the jihadis opened fire in a mall. And, you know, killed, I forget exactly what the body count was. It was 67 people looking at it. At least 67 people. Obviously, more were wounded. And this is just, it's not going to stop. And people have to understand this. The problem that we have, and I'm looking at another, actually, this is from a Truth Revolt. U.S. Muslims react to calls for surveillance. We have the same ideology as mainstream Americans. And so, of course, there are moderate Muslims out there who embrace America. I mean, at least that's what we would like to think. And as I stated in my talk at Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, you know, in Germany in World War II, many of the Nazis were German. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The majority of Nazis were, in fact, German-speaking people. But not all Germans were Nazis. And so it is with Islam. The question is, and I've got stats in front of me, and you know, we can get into all that stuff. But if even just 1% are radicalized, and I think it's actually more than 1%, if just 1% are radicalized, then my gosh, what are we looking at? That's like with 1.4 billion Muslims in the world, and some people put that higher. That's like 1.4 million terrorists running around. And I think on Drudge Report today, this is basically the headline: 400 trained jihadis for European wave of bloodshed. Other sites are saying that ISIS has declared war on Europe. You know, this, and there's no way to vet these people. And this is the problem. you know, you've got this influx of Muslim immigrants into Europe, and this happened, of course, months ago. And people, and I talked about this again in Hear the Watchman. People ask me, you know, and they do it sort of with sort of an attitude. You know, LA, I followed this Blood Moon thing, and nothing really happened in 2015. It's like, you know, I felt like I'd taken to the cleaners here. I bought some books on it, and I watched a video on the Blood Moons, and nothing happened. And I look at them, and I say, are you kidding me? I mean, what did you expect, the planet to split in half or something? The very fact that we've got over 1 million Muslim refugees storming, by the way, through Europe, and I show clips of that, is absolutely unprecedented. Absolutely unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it before. And the second factor is the Russians are now in the Middle East. They're still there. Yes, Putin has you know, withdrawn a little bit, but that whole place is just one big powder keg. So the problem we have is how do we figure out who the jihadis are? Of course, there's no way of knowing that. And this creates a real problem. There's most Muslims, I'm assuming, although I have no way of knowing that, but I'm going to believe it. Even after all the carnage and the endless wave of suicide bombings in Iraq and in other places. You know, Obama stands up today and he says, this is not the face of Islam. Islam has been hijacked. Well, with all due respect, what is the face of Islam? I mean, I also talked about this here in The Watchman. Do we believe in the Muslim Brotherhood? Is that the face of Islam in Egypt, where the Muslim Brotherhood states emphatically, this very fiery imam, Safwa Hegazi, states emphatically that the capital of the United Arab States will be Al-Quds, which, of course, is Arabic for Jerusalem. How's that going to work? Do we look at the face of Islam in Saudi Arabia, where the madrasas basically teach Sharia? Do we look at Saudi Arabia with Chop Chop Square, where people are hands are cut off and hands on one side, feet on the other, the endless slashings, the torture, the fact that women have no rights at all, they're not allowed to drive, the honor killings, the female genital mutilation? Is that the face of Islam? What are we supposed to believe here? Is ISIS the true face of Islam? What about Iran, who are Shia Muslims who are completely at war with Sunnis? And in Iraq, about every 10 to 14 days, some suicide crazy blows up somebody in Iraq, and it's on both sides. Sunni blows up Shia, Shia blows up Sunni. On and on it goes. When ISIS rolls into town, the first thing they do is they round up all the Shia Muslims, and they just blow them away. That's it. They line them up in trenches. I've got film of this. Line them up in trenches. Boom, boom, boom. You know, shots to the head, blood spurting out every place. So when Obama makes a statement like this, which I find just incredible, you know, it's basically saying that this is not what Islam is, and ISIS has hijacked the religion of peace, then with all due respect, Mr. President, please point us to the real face of Islam. What about Islamic countries that will never recognize the state of Israel? What about the idea that millions of women, specifically in the African continent, have been what has undergone a rite known as female genital mutilation, where their clitorises are cut off so they can never come to a climax? So they're basically sexually, they're sort of it's over. I don't know how else to put it. They can't enjoy a relationship, a sexual relationship with a man. And what about the honor killings that we have in this country? What about the jihad in this country, where we have Major Hassan, who stands up and yells Allahu Akbar and blows away 13 people? And this man was in the army. So the problem I have, and I think what most Americans have, is how are we to distinguish who's who? There's no way to tell. There's absolutely no way to tell. And as Trump says, do we you know, put a hold on this for a little bit? Do we stop immigration from Muslim countries? I mean, the fact that Europe is dealing with this, there's no way to stop it over there. It's already over for Europe. And what they're going to see is wave after wave after wave of terror. I've been saying this for years now, certainly before 2013. I wrote Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural in 2007. And when that book came out, I said the same thing. Look, there were dirty bombs that we believe came across the southern border in the 90s. This was also in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. I sort of tagged it again in Days of Chaos. But the bottom line is, those dirty bombs came across the southern border in the 90s when the border was wide open. Now, it's still porous today. Don't misunderstand me. And the Border Patrol is basically handcuffed. They can't do what they're supposed to do. And wave after wave of immigrant, illegal aliens, and what about illegals? Don't we really understand? You're coming into this country illegally. If the roles were reversed and we just went into Mexico, we'd all be rounded up and put in a hooscow and then deported. But somehow over here, all the, you know, bleeding heart liberals, oh, we got to give them citizenship. Oh, we've got anchor babies. And if you say anything against it, you're a racist. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just, where are these people, you know, define your terms. What is a racist? That's not a racist. That's someone who wants to secure the borders because you're allowing people to come into this country who then basically get food stamps and live off the public dole, don't pay taxes, send the money back into their countries. And we've seen it over and over again in California. But apparently you can't say anything. So in the 90s, Osama bin Laden, that elusive boogeyman, who, by the way, when they killed him, and of course I don't believe that was Osama bin Laden in Pakistan for a minute. I believe he died from kidney failure in Iran years earlier. But anyway, the SEAL team went in, they see a guy that looks like Osama bin Laden, the whole thing's a setup, yeah, they get somebody, yeah, they bag him, guess what? No DNA is extracted, there are no fingerprints, no iris scans, there's nothing. And out of respect to Muslims, they bury this guy at sea. I mean, are you kidding me? Am I really supposed to believe that? That is the most classic wag the dog story I have ever heard in my life, except for Benghazi, the wag the dog thing, where we were told that this spontaneous eruption that happened in Benghazi, which killed our ambassador, by the way, he was brutally tortured, sodomized with a cattle, he was sodomized, but he was also probed with a cattle prod to his genitals for who knows how long, while all these goons are yelling Allahu Akbar and torturing this guy and finally killing him. Our Marines were told to stand down. And the fact that Hillary Clinton, with all due respect, Madam Secretary, can actually run for President of the United States shows me anyway, how far down the rabbit hole we really are. What does it matter? It matters a whole lot. The fact that just last week she said, and look at Libya, you know, no one died there. Excuse me, you forget about the four Marines. It wasn't a spontaneous eruption due to some movie that the way you guys spun it, the administration, oh, the Muslims were reacting to some anti-Muslim movie. And the guy was, you know, under house arrest for like 6 months. Then they let him go. Of course, that was on page non-existent in the New York Times. Hardly anybody knows about that. So Osama bin Laden is buried at sea. Am I supposed to believe this? I'm supposed to believe they shot him. I believe he died in Iran years ago. I think this is one of the reasons why, what's her name? What was the prime minister or president of Pakistan for a while?
Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah, Bhutto. Yeah. Bhutto was assassinated because basically she came on the record stating that, oh, Osama bin Laden died in Iran 6 years earlier. She actually stated that. You can go online, you actually hear the quote. I'm not making this stuff up. So whether or not she was assassinated because of that, who knows? The bottom line is when bin Laden was here, and Paul Ryan has a book that talks about this, there was a fatwa, a religious decree, that came from an imam that allowed him to bring weapons of mass destruction into the country across the southern border. The southern border was porous. We believe that dirty nukes or suitcase nukes were purchased from the former Soviet Union. They won't explode like a nuclear device. They will create a Chernobyl event in your city, which is what you don't want, or a Fukushima-like event in your city. Basically, you can't ever go back there for decades and decades and decades. So we believe at least 2 to 20. That's the numbers.
You're right. I mean, this has been reported on, and right now, as you're talking, L.A., and Joe has this information, three students, George Mason University, found with bomb-making material, arrested. You're so right. This is coming. This is coming to this country. This is unbelievable, in my view, that we have turned a blind eye to this. Now, you mentioned one thing that I want to address before I do. Just allow me this momentarily here. Folks, we are talking with L.A. Marzulli fresh off of Hear the Watchman conference. Folks, go to hearthewatchman.com. There you can grab a hold of your 10 DVD box set this weekend only. Now think about that, 10 DVD box set conference price right now, $75. So go there. And anyone who purchased live streaming, your extended viewing will be available shortly. The technical aspects of that were a nightmare. God bless everyone involved in that endeavor. But L.A. Marzulli was one of the featured speakers there. L.A. Marzulli, his websites, lamarzulli.net, ppsreport.com. Folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. That's nuts.com. If you go to nuts.com, folks, and please do this, go to nuts.com, in the microphone box, type in HH. Okay, and it'll take you to our special page there. And, folks, you can choose from your four free gifts on the page that comes up. $25, purchase $25 worth of goodies and add choose your four free gifts. It's a $15 value. Place your order. And I got to tell you, the choices are just fabulous at nuts.com. Microphone code HH. More on that later.
Just fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're always eating stuff from nuts.com. Again, Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by nuts.com, microphone code HH. But LA, you were talking about one thing that I want to address. Somewhere along the line in history, in American history and Western history, the descendants of the early Christians spiraled into a state of prideful complacency. Much like the Laodicean church, we were deceived. Christians were deceived into believing that they had their act together with respect to Christian life. And this is referenced in Revelation 3:14, verses 14 through 19. We, as a body of Christ, had become spiritually blind and needed a dose of eye salve that Jesus had offered, really, their ancestors. But with respect to modern Islam, you had referenced that. And here, I said this last night, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. Inevitably, whenever Islam is mentioned on the news, on Fox News, MSNBC, anywhere, in a negative context, the bombings in Brussels, many challenge that only a small minority are dangerous radicals, and the majority is harmless moderates. But, LA, I truly assert that the facts disprove this oversimplified distinction, because Islam, and I said this last night, Islam works as a two-edged sword. Yeah. One edge is terrorism, and the other is a more subtle process that leads to the Islamic takeover of a country by using our laws against us. So I do believe that this alien invasion that we're seeing today, and I don't want to cut into your time at all, because I really believe that we've been sold a bill of goods with respect to the modern Muslims. Sure, there are Muslims who just don't do anything. They're not of the book of faith, much like Christians, just in Christians in name only. But man, I'll tell you, I really have a hard time believing in moderate Islam. And I also have a hard time believing, well, I'll just say this, the Arab Spring, LA, we have documentation that was years in the planning. It wasn't a spontaneous uprising. Libya, that was necessary in order to funnel goods and weapons and men up to Syria.
And to take it a step further, you know, putting it to the presidential campaign, you know, we see these protests against Donald Trump and his rallies and supporters. These are also organized protests in the same way that the organized attacks happened in Benghazi.
Yeah.
It is not by chance that these are happening.
Yeah, go ahead, LA. Sorry, I just wanted to get those couple of things in there.
No, we're having a conversation. I mean, you know, you mentioned Trump. Absolutely, these the anti-Trump movement, even within the Republican establishment, is incredibly telling. They don't want him because they can't control him. I mean, I've written blogs about it. I did a video on it from our studio, ppsreport.com. Basically, stay safe, Mr. Trump. Because, look, RFK was assassinated by a so-called lone gunman who doesn't remember, decades after the killing, doesn't remember that he ever shot RFK. Sirhan Sirhan. And it seems like the Manchurian candidate, the MK Ultra mind control, this guy was In my opinion, I don't think he pulled the trigger. And of course, we know, you know, just look, just like JFK, and we were just in Dallas. I've been to Dallas, to the kill zone several times, and the headshot where JFK was blown away is less than 60 feet away from the grassy knoll. Behind the picket fence, it's less than 60 feet away from the fatal headshot which killed Kennedy. And there was a recently, there was a program, I'm digressing here, I know, but another rabbit trail, but there was a program which attempted to debunk that, and they, you know, went through all this extraordinary, you know, with JFK in the limo and Jackie sitting next to her, and they had actors and actresses portraying Kennedy and Mrs. Kennedy in the back of a limousine, which is an exact replica of the car and all this stuff, and they positioned the rifle in the grassy knoll where the headshot was. But what they did is they moved Kennedy Jacqueline back. In other words, In the real footage, in the Zapruder film, she's leaning forward, and she's leaning forward and holding her husband and looking at his face like this before the headshot occurs. They moved her back 8 to 10 inches, which means that if the bullet had come from the grassy knoll, it would have gone through Kennedy's head and hit her. See, right. And which is false information, but that's not where she was. So, but if they show that, and if you believe that, then they go, well, see, we can't, well, completely, it never would have happened because Jacqueline would have been killed by the bullet from the grassy knoll. Excuse me, the police officer riding on a motorcycle directly in back on the left side of the motorcade was completely covered with brain matter and blood. And that proves, in my opinion, that the fatal headshot, at least one of them, came, there might have been two at the same time, a split second between them, came from the grassy knoll. And that's, I mean, that's a matter of public record. I mean, that's how it was. His head exploded. Isn't it interesting how the brain goes missing, which would have shown a completely different type of weapon being used? The weapon that blew him apart was probably a full metal jacket where the bullet goes in and it basically explodes, which is completely different from the Mannlicher Carcano that Oswald allegedly used, which wouldn't have done that. So that's why they're two different bullets, and so we got to get rid of the brain because the brain will show that, oh, the bullet from a Mannlicher Carcano wouldn't have exploded, mushroomed out like this, and fragmented into many pieces, which, of course, we would have found in Kennedy's brain. I digress. The bottom line is RFK was assassinated. Let's backtrack out of this rabbit trail. RFK was assassinated. Why? Because he would have carried on his brother's work. He would have opened up the Kennedy assassination for one, and basically done the same type of idea of bringing boys back home from Vietnam, looking at the IRS, getting rid of the Federal Reserve, all the things that sort of Trump is talking about, the same type of, you know, doing the same type of things in his administration. We'll see exactly what happens, but they fear him. They don't want him. They're trying to manipulate the conversation by bringing in these radicals, and this is right out of the Saul Alinsky playbook, demonstrate, and meanwhile the populace is voting for Trump overwhelmingly. Now in a runoff apparently with Clinton, he loses, which is incredible to think about, that Trump could actually lose to someone like Hillary. But look, we are in, and I'm just looking at Breitbart's, and this is just an incredible, you know, Breitbart News. Ann Coulter, who I love, she's so pithy and witty. Her hashtag was today, "We are Neville Chamberlain." And, of course, for those who don't study history and don't understand who Neville Chamberlain really was and what he did and why this is important, Chamberlain went and met with Hitler before the outbreak of World War II. And Neville Chamberlain came back holding this silly white paper, waving it at the airport in London, saying Hitler doesn't want war, we have peace, everything is okay, hooray! And so there it is, and so everybody went yay. And a couple of weeks later, or whatever, Hitler invades Poland, and World War II rolls out, and you know, 50 million people are killed, and and how many in the concentration camps, 15, 20 million, we'll probably never know. Out of that, 6 million Jews, 7, 8 million Jews, I mean, the number is through the roof, and a lot of times they didn't actually keep records. You got off the death car, the death trains in Auschwitz, and women and children just immediately went to the gas chambers. No one was keeping track of the body count the way it should have been. But look, this is we are Neville Chamberlain. The fact that just like in Brussels, the first thing they do is have a candlelight vigil. If I see one more candlelight vigil, I'm going to scream. That's not the answer. 20 seconds of silence is not the answer. I don't have the answer. No one does. The bottom line is, and this is where it gets tough. This is really where it gets tough. I do agree with the Donald when he says we should close our borders until we figure this out. You bet your booties. Anybody who wants to come over here, whether for work, for school, for anything, who comes from a Muslim country that sponsors terrorism, and I'll just list a few: Yemen, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, forget it. You're not coming over here. And then you go down into the Sudan and other places, sub-Saharan countries. Anyone, any of these countries who harbor terrorism, you can't come over here. That's the first thing that we should do. The second thing is, we need to infiltrate the mosques in this country, because we have no idea what is actually being preached in the mosques. And the fact that Trump said this also, that, for instance, in San Bernardino, which is, 2 hours from where I live? So that's on my doorstep, if you get my drift. That there was a network of people who knew what these guys were up to, this husband and wife team. They must have known. They had a bomb-making factory in their house. The mother-in-law must have known, had to have known. Someone knew, and they
absolutely
didn't report it, and they didn't say anything. And so these guys carry out their nasty deed. I'm on a site from Wikipedia, and it's just incredible. You go back here, 2005, and there's maybe 20, or not even that much, like 12 attacks. And then 2006, it's less. 2007, it's less. 2008, it starts to rise. 2009, it goes back down again. 2010, it goes up. 2011, it goes up. 2012, 2013, 2014 is where it really takes off. In 2014, it basically doubles from 2013, the amount of jihadist attacks. In 2015, it triples that number. It is absolutely unbelievable. I'll just read a couple. December 11th, 2015, in the Tel Tamar bombings, 3 truck bombs by ISIS killed up to 60 people, injured more than 80 in the town of Tel Tamar. December 12th, Islamists detonated a car bomb near a hospital in central Homs. That's, of course, in Iraq. December 12th, a militant detonated his explosives in a truck at an Iraqi position near the Saudi border. 6 dead, 14 injured. December 13th, Boko Haram Islamists, at least some using machetes, attacked residents of the villages Warara, Mengari, 30 killed, 20 injured. December 21st, a suicide bomber on a motorcycle killed 6 and wounded 3. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. So the bottom line is, it's ongoing. And in 2016 already, we've already had at least 20 that we know about, attacks, suicide bombings. 2016, the Istanbul bombing, an ISIS suicide bomber kills 10. Jakarta attacks, 5 assailants killed, 2 injured, 24. Suspected Boko Haram killing 25, injuring 62. So when someone like our president, with all due respect to the office and to who he is our president, and I do respect that office. I don't particularly agree with his opinion that Islam, that ISIS has hijacked a great religion of peace. And again, I go back to my original statement. What is the face of Islam? Is it the Taliban? Is it Boko Haram? Is it ISIS? Is it, is it Osama bin Laden and his crew? I mean, where is the face of Islam? Where are the moderates? And there are moderates out there. I actually posted several links on my blog. There are Muslims who are calling for reform to stop this nonsense. There was a woman that was born in Saudi Arabia. I think she's now living in one of the Gulf states. that's much more liberal. She doesn't wear the hijab, and she wrote a very pithy article. And in that article, she stated, well, let's reverse the tables. Let's say Christians came to Saudi Arabia and demanded that they were able to build churches in Saudi Arabia. Well, Saudi Arabia, there's not one church in Saudi Arabia. Not one. So we have a real duplicity here. They come over here and they build mosques, but we're not allowed to build churches in Saudi Arabia. So then she goes, well, what if these Christians came over and demanded to build churches? What if Christians came over and called us infidels? What if Christians came over and said that they were going to impose some sort of Christian-type law on us? And she gets it. That's exactly what's going on. When you reverse the roles, what if Christians strapped bombs to themselves and blew themselves up in markets or in restaurants or whatever? And she's right. I mean, she really makes a very poignant case that when you look at it that way, something is really, really wrong here. The fact that the ideology even spawns this tells you that there's something systemically wrong about the interpretation of the Quran. I don't know what that is because I'm not a Quranic scholar, but this is where the people who are of the Islamic faith need to step up and call for an end to the suicide bombings, call for an end to jihad, call for an end of boycotting Israel. But I don't think we're going to see that. Again, when we look at the mullahs in Iran, Obama makes a deal with the Iranians, lift the sanctions. Iranians promise they're not going to do nukes, they're not supposed to fire rockets. They get the money, the first thing that they do is they fire two rockets, testing rockets, which is in violation of the deal, as far as I know. They write on the rockets, death to Israel. Now, This is what we're dealing with here. And this is what's crazy. So what ideology of Islam are we supposed to embrace? Show me where the moderates are. Certainly King Abdullah and Queen Reina of Jordan seem to be moderates. But King Abdullah, although he has a lot of respect in the Muslim world, he's certainly not leading any type of a reform, especially when we look at the Saudis who are promulgating Sharia, who are promulgating a very severe type of Islam. So, again, until Islam decides who they are and how they're going to address modernity and live in the modern world and not throw everything back to somehow 7th century jurisprudence like they do in Saudi Arabia or Iran, chop, chop, square. That's what's going on, the beheadings, the mutilations, and everything else. There's got to be some kind of a reform. And frankly, I don't see that happening.
No, I've got a... an author by the name of Abdullah El Arabi sent me a book called The Islamization of America, The Islamic Strategies and Christian Responses, folks. It's one of the most, it's a short read. It's only, I think, 115 pages. And, LA.
And we also had Bill Warner on politicalislam.com. Yeah. He explained how, these people are able to get away with, so many things because in the text of the Quran it says they are allowed to lie. In order to deceive, to carry out their agenda, and so much more. And he broke it down really well, and explained, how they come in, they infiltrate, they do so under, lies and false narratives, and then they are free to carry out whatever mission it is that they have. Well, it's much deeper than that.
But I guess, Ellie, let me ask you the question, all right? Here we are. We are supposedly a robust body of Christians. Why, LA? Why is Islam growing at such an alarming rate? Why are so many people adhering to the medieval doctrine of Islam that's delineated in the Quran? I guess, is it the vacuum of Christians that's responsible for this, or the vacuum of leadership within the body of Christ, or is it something else? Or, I mean, why?
I think that's a very complex answer. I think it's a little bit of both. It's the fact that Christianity has lost its salt in many ways. I was talking to a pastor fairly recently who stated that it only takes one generation to to lose the Christian worldview, and we've seen that. There's many people, young people under 30, who have no idea what salvation is, who have no idea why Yeshua, Jesus, died on the cross, why that was even necessary. We have others that don't, other swaths of Christendom that don't believe in the miracles that we read about in the Bible. They don't believe, let's say, in the virgin birth or many of the other miracles. They have a whole other section that believe that Jesus will not return, that we are actually living in the millennial kingdom. And if that's true, good luck with that. And meanwhile, of course, days of chaos, being a student of biblical prophecy, I believe that we are in the last of the last days. I believe we are rapidly closing the window of time where he has got to come back. And I talked about that again at the Hear the Watchman conference. I just think that we're closer now than ever before, certainly, with what we're looking at. But also that Islam appeals to a certain aspect in human nature, a component, I should say, in human nature. And that is the idea of somehow working our way to salvation. What's interesting about Islam, and when you talk to Muslims about this, and I've had dialogue with Muslims, there is no word in the Quran for love. And in the Bible, we see God is love. So right away, you've got a disparity. In the biblical prophetic narrative, we are told that we can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe through his son Yeshua by the indwelling of the Spirit of a living God. And for those of us who are born again and spirit-filled, we know that that's reality. What's changing the face of Iran, and we talked about this in Watchers 9 when we sat down with a pastor who was only here for a very brief time in the United States. We don't know his real name. I have no idea who this guy was, what his real name is, but he sat down with us, and we had to disguise his face and disguise his voice and all this, and he told us that right now there's an incredible revival happening in Iran. Thousands and thousands of former Muslims are becoming Christians, and Jesus is appearing to people at night in dreams and visions, and showing up in their houses, and people are getting converted. There's this whole underground network of churches in Iran, and of course the mullahs are cracking down on it. Why? Because Christianity changes a person's heart. It changes their ideology. And that's what they're terrified of, because they know that they can't get there. They can't get inside someone's head. Islam is a works trip, in my opinion. You pray five times a day. So that seems really religious in a certain aspect, right? Wow, they're praying five times a day. We don't do that. Well, and again, in the biblical prophetic narrative, we're told to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And you say to yourself, well, that's impossible. Well, it is impossible, except when we're under the power of the Spirit of a living God. And as we go through the day, we are reminded to pray here, pray for that, pray for this instance. So I find myself praying all day long. I prayed before this interview. I prayed, you know, today, basically all day long. Is that without ceasing? I don't know. But I certainly pray a lot more than five times a day. So with all these different rules and regulations, and some people can point back to the Levitical law, and I understand that. And for all those out there who say that we're still under the law, well, good luck with that. If we're under the law, then live by the entire law. Then go to my friend Rabbi Glazerson, who lives under the law, and just follow in his footsteps for a day. Good luck with that. And he's an Orthodox rabbi. So he's got the uniform, his tzitzis, the hat, the beard, the washings, the ceremonial prayers, the whole deal. And that's what he does. He's an Orthodox rabbi living under the law. I'm frankly glad that I don't have to do that. I wasn't born Jewish. I'm Italian. I was raised Catholic. And when I became born again, everything changed. For those of you out there who are confused by what I'm saying, read the book of Galatians. Just read the book of Galatians. Sit down, a real short book, read the book of Galatians, and you'll see what Paul's talking about. If we're going to live under the law, then okay, I get that, but let's live under the whole law. So Yeshua, Jesus, comes, and by his sacrifice on Calvary, cleanses us from our sins. And through him, we have right standing with the real God, the God of the universe. And what's scaring the mullahs in Iran, our people are being born again, just like we are here. They're being born again. The Spirit of the living God is going into their lives and changing them. And that changes their ideology. And that changes a man's heart. Look, before I became a Christian 36 years ago, I was a drug-taking, fornicating, guru-worshipping, occult-practicing pagan. And I don't say that proudly, but that's who I was. And I state that because I make no errors as to who I am or what I am. Anything I am is because of his working within me. And that's the miracle of Christianity. Because when the Spirit of a living God comes into a man or woman, they begin to change from the inside. He begins to clean house. He begins to change us and mold us into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus. And I think that change is literally on the DNA level. Don't ask me how that works, because I don't know. But all I know is it does work. It's not delusional. It's something that's more real than the conversation that we're having now. So there needs to be a reformation in Islam. And those who are attracted to it are attracted to a system whereby they can work their way into salvation. Just think about this, that a suicide bomber is offered to 72 virgins. So that's what they're told. If you blow yourself up for Allah, if you become a martyr, then that's one way to gain entrance into heaven. See the disparity there? If you are a martyr, shahada in Arabic, if you are a martyr, then you gain entrance to heaven. That's a works trip. Where, contrast that with Christianity, that's not how it works. We gain entrance to heaven by faith in Jesus and him alone. Believing on him who was sent, Jesus. Believing in the work of the cross, that his blood covers our sins. That's it. We don't do anything for the deal except accept it. That's all we do, and then we get eternal life. We are ushered into the presence of God, the real one. Where, there's a clip I showed at Hear the Watchman conference, and again, it was when Mohamed Morsi was running for president of Egypt, and the Muslim Brotherhood, he was a Muslim Brotherhood candidate, and Morsi was installed, he won the election overwhelmingly, and he was installed, and of course, they didn't know how to run the country, and there was a coup by the military, Morsi got kicked out, put in prison, and now we've got Sisi, who was more of a moderate guy, because the Egyptians realized they didn't want Sharia law. They don't know what they want, but they don't want Sharia. They don't want it under Morsi. However, in the clip I show, this very fiery imam, and again, Mr. Obama, what branch of Islam are we supposed to hang our hat on? Here we have Safwan Ghazi standing in Tahrir Square in Egypt, yelling at the top of his lungs, "To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions." And of course, that whole idea that martyrs in the millions, and that's, they're all chanting it. Tens of thousands of people are in Tahrir Square saying in unison, I can't say the Arabic, but the translation is, to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. And that's something that they prize. Even Muslim women in Middle Eastern countries, they look at their sons or daughters who strap bombs, and they have shrines to these people. So the ideology has to change. And I have no clue as to how you're going to do that, because that ideology starts when these kids are like 2 years old. They're indoctrinated, and they're told that this is life. This is what you do, and you become a martyr. This is the highest aspiration. My son blew himself up. I'm so proud of him. That's insane. From a Western point of view, from a Western ideological viewpoint, worldview, that is the antithesis of what we believe.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Wow. And we just have a minute or two before the top of the hour break, LA. But, you know, when you have a president today who came out and said that ISIS poses no existential threat to the United States and has produced nothing, you got to wonder. You know, we know the presidents are mere puppets, and they follow the scripts that are written for them. But at the same time, you know, we've seen the president call ISIS the JV team. We've seen the way that we have supported them through claiming they're Syrian moderate rebels, leaving the equipment that we gave to the quote unquote trained rebels that were left, you know, $1 billion worth of equipment, left for ISIS to pick up. And one of our guests came on, I'm not sure who said this, but they said, you know, that it was policy, that standard operating procedure, if this were to happen, when this happened, that the equipment should have been, you know,
destroyed
via airstrikes. And the fact that they weren't, and, you know, they let tanks, Humvees, you know, rocket launchers and other heavy weaponry to these terrorists, it just goes right in the face of everything that we know the government's supposed to do. Then you have a Pope saying that this is Arab invasion of Europe is a good thing for Europe and to bring in diversity.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, there's these terrorist attacks that are devastating the different cities in Europe, from Paris to, you know, what we saw yesterday. Folks, we're up against the top of the hour break. Our guest is L.A. Marzulli. LAMarzulli.net is his website.
And PPSReport.com as well. And if you like what you're hearing right now, here are the Watchmen DVD set. You got it. Go to hearthewatchman.com. L.A. was a smashing hit there with all the information.
We'll be right back with hour number two with L.A. Marzulli right after this. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.